Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtyatya Deshatarne Trinadapi Sunichena Tarari Vasahishnuna Amani Na Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatir Anyata Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Chapter 5 of the Mahabharata, entitled The Martial Exhibition. Among Drona's pupils, Bhim and Duryodhan, deadly rivals, both became matchless in mace fighting. Yudhishthira was the greatest spearman and chariot fighter. Nakul and Sahadev were the best swordsmen, and Ashwatthama showed the greatest ability at mystical weapons. Arjuna, however, excelled everyone in all respects. Arjuna became an Atirata, a warrior capable of fighting 60,000 other warriors simultaneously. This only increased the envy Dhritarashtra's sons felt toward Arjuna, as well as to his mighty brother, Bhim. One day, Dronacharya decided to test his students' abilities. He placed an artificial bird high in a tree. Calling together all the princes, he said to each of them, "Take your bows and aim for the bird's eye. One by one I shall call you forward to shoot." The first to be called was Yudhishthira. When he placed an arrow on his bow and aimed, Drona said, "O prince, tell me what you see." Yudhishthira replied that he saw his brothers, Drona, the tree, and the bird. Drona asked him again and again what he saw, and each time received the same reply. Drona then reproached him and told him to stand down without firing his arrow. "You will not hit the mark." Duryodhan was the next to be called. When he was ready to fire, Drona asked him the same question. The prince replied as Yudhishthira had replied, and again Drona told him to stand down. One by one the princes were called, and each responded to Drona similarly, and was not allowed to shoot at the bird. Finally, Arjuna was called, and when he was prepared to shoot, and standing with his bow drawn in a semicircle, Drona said, "Tell me what you see. Can you see myself, your brothers, and the tree?" Arjuna replied, "I see only the bird. I cannot see you or my brothers, nor the tree." Drona was pleased. He waited a moment and then asked, "If you see the bird, then please describe it to me." Arjuna responded, "I see only the head of the bird. I cannot see the bird's body." Drona felt his hair stand on end. With delight, he said, "Shoot!" Arjuna released his arrow and struck the wooden bird in the eye, sending it tumbling to the ground. With tears of joy, Drona embraced his disciple, as Duryodhana and his brothers looked on in anger. Sometime after that, Drona went with the princes to the Ganges to bathe. As he entered the water, he was seized by a fierce crocodile. Although capable of freeing himself, Drona cried out, "O princes, quickly kill this beast and rescue me." The princes were confounded with sorrow at seeing their teacher held by the crocodile. They froze in fear, all except Arjuna. Arjuna instantly fired 5 arrows, which struck the reptile under the water and cut it to pieces. Its mouth fell open and released Drona's leg. Drona came to the riverbank and took Arjuna aside. Then Dronacharya said to Arjuna, "I wish to give you the greatest of weapons. Take from me the knowledge of the Brahmastra, the irresistible missile endowed with Brahma's power. This weapon should only be used against supernatural foes, for if released against others, it may destroy the very world." Drona then told Arjuna that no one would ever become superior to him with a bow. Arjuna was now invincible. Seeing that the princes had become expert in arms and warfare, Drona went to Dhritarashtra and said, "O king, your sons have completed their education. With your permission, they may now display their proficiency. Let me therefore arrange an expedition." Dhritarashtra thanked Drona for instructing the princes and then said, "I envy those who will be able to witness the prowess of my sons. I shall attend the display with Vidura, who will be my eyes. With his assistance, please make the preparations, O best of the Brahmins." Drona and Vidura then went outside of the city and selected a large flat piece of land. After sanctifying the spot with prayers and offerings to the gods, Drona had skilled architects construct a great stadium. It had a vast central area and platforms rising on all 4 sides. Wealthy merchants sponsored the installation of thousands of beautiful seats carved from wood and inlaid with ivory and pearls. Rows of golden thrones encrusted with coral and gems were built on the royal platform. The stadium's sides reached up to the sky and were adorned with tall white flagstaffs bearing colored pennants that fluttered in the breeze. On an auspicious day, determined by the royal astrologers, the citizens entered the stadium, eager to see the princes display their power. Bhishma and Vidura, leading Dhritarashtra by the arm, walked at the head of the procession. They were immediately followed by Drona and Kripa, along with other members of the royal party, such as Bhalika, Somadatta, and other kings visiting from surrounding kingdoms. The royal ladies came out of the city dressed in dazzling robes and ornaments, accompanied by numerous maids in waiting. The ladies ascended the royal platforms like goddesses ascending to the holy Mount Meru. Crowds of citizens from all the forecasts thronged into the stadium and marveled at its beauty. Large sections were built of pure gold and studded with priceless Vaidurya gems. It was decorated with countless garlands of bright flowers and strings of pearls. The sound of people filling the stadium was like the surging ocean. Trumpets were blown and drums beaten, mixing with the blast of thousands of conches and the talk of excited people. Everyone was seated, and then Drona entered the arena with his son Ashwatthama. He wore white robes and white garlands, and his body was smeared white with sandalwood paste. His hair and beard were also white, and with his powerful son, he looked like the moon accompanied by the planet Mars. The noise of the crowd subsided as Dronacharya entered. Drona then had a large number of Brahmins perform auspicious rites in the arena. The mantras echoed around the stadium. Expert musicians simultaneously played their instruments, creating a sound that pleased and calmed the audience, who sat in expectation. The princes then entered the arena, headed by Yudhishthir, and striding like proud and mighty lions. They were clad in brilliant armors and equipped with every kind of weapon. Drona ordered them to show off their different skills. Beginning with Yudhishthir, the princes stepped forward one by one. They mounted swift horses and rode them expertly, reeling about the arena and hitting both still and moving targets with arrows engraved with their respective names. Thousands of arrows sped in all directions, and some of the citizens ducked in fear. Others were fearless, their eyes wide with wonder. Sounds of excellent, well done, resounded through the stadium. The prince's weaponry skills, horseback riding and chariot driving were breathtaking. After displaying all these skills, they pulled out their gleaming blue swords and rushed, shouting at one another. They thrust and parried, adroitly dodging each other's attacks. The people saw with delight the grace, speed, and strength of all the princes. Drona then had Bhima and Duryodhan step forward to display mace fighting. The two heroes glared at each other and bellowed like furious bulls. Holding aloft massive iron maces, they circled, each with his gaze fixed on the other. As Vidura described the scene to Dhritarashtra and Kunti to Gandhari, the two princes aimed terrific blows at each other. Their maces collided with thunderous crashes, sending showers of sparks into the air. The crowd became divided. Some supported Bhima, while others supported Duryodhan. Shouts of, "Behold the mighty Bhima! Just see the powerful Duryodhan!" filled the stadium. Drona realized that the fight was becoming too earnest, and he also saw that people were becoming too excited. He told his son to step between the roaring rivals and stop them. Ashwatthama obeyed his father, and moving quickly forward, managed to separate the two princes. When Bhima and Duryodhan had stood down, still glaring at each other, Drona stepped into the middle of the arena. He stopped the musicians and spoke in a voice that resounded like thunder. Behold now Arjuna's abilities. Arjuna is dearer to me than my own son. This son of Indra, known as Arjuna, is incomparable at every kind of martial skill. As Drona spoke, Arjuna entered the arena. Clad in golden armor, with a large golden quiver of arrows on his back, the lustrous prince appeared like a cloud reflecting the rays of the evening sun and illumined by a rainbow and flashes of lightning. The invincible prince walked with the gait of a lion, and as he glanced about the arena, he terrified all those upon whom his eyes fell. A cry of joy went up from the audience. People blew conches and played musical instruments. This handsome youth is Kunti's third son, and he is the best of all virtuous men and the most powerful, some people said. He is the son of the mighty Indra and the best protector of the Kuru race, others added. All kinds of praises were heard from the crowd. Hearing these, Kunti felt milk flow from her breast, and along with tears, drenched her bosom. Dhritarashtra asked Vidura why the people were shouting so joyously. When Vidura told him that it was because Arjuna had appeared, Dhritarashtra said, "How blessed I am by Kunti's three sons. They are like three sacrificial fires, and Kunti is like the sacred fuel." But Dhritarashtra burned secretly within himself. Why had the people not cheered for his own sons in this way? Was not Duryodhan Arjuna's equal? Only he could see what was happening. Vidura described the scene to the blind king. Arjuna displayed one celestial weapon after another. With the Agneya weapon, he produced fire. With the Varuna weapon, he produced volumes of water. With the Vayavya weapon, he caused a great wind to blow. And with the Parjanya weapon, he created a huge downpour of rain. Arjuna created land with the Boma weapon. And with the Parvatya weapon, he made a hill appear in the arena. Then, by invoking the Antardhan weapon, he made all those things disappear. As the citizens gasped, the prince displayed all kinds of mystical powers. One moment, he appeared as tall as a massive palm tree, and in the next moment, he became as small as a thumb. Within an instant, he went from standing on his chariot to standing on the ground a distance from his chariot. Drona then had a mechanical iron boar run swiftly across the arena, and Arjuna shot five arrows into its mouth as if they were one shaft. He shot 20 arrows into the hollow of the cow's horn, swinging on a rope around a pole. After showing his skill with a bow, Arjuna took out his sword and mace, demonstrating many dexterous moves with them both. The exhibition was almost over. The music had stopped, and the crowd's excitement had cooled. Suddenly they heard at the stadium gate the sound of someone slapping his arms with great force and roaring like an enraged elephant. Obviously, some hugely powerful man had arrived. The people looked around for the source of the sounds. Are the mountains cracking asunder? Is the earth itself splitting apart? Others thought that some jealous god had come there, wishing to display his might. Drona jumped up and stood surrounded by the five Pandavas, resembling the moon surrounded by bright stars. Duryodhan stood with his 100 brothers, like Indra with the celestials. Everyone looked toward the gate. Coming toward them was a warrior who looked like the blazing sun. He had a brilliant coat of armor, and he was adorned with earrings that shone like fire. The earth resounded with his steps, and he seemed to be like a moving hill. The crowd was motionless. They stared at this new arrival. Who was this? The handsome youth strode straight up to Drona. He bowed somewhat indifferently at his feet, and then offered his respects to Kripa. Turning again to Drona, he spoke in a voice that could be heard in every part of the stadium. I am Karna. With your permission, O Brahmana, I shall show skills equal to those of Arjuna. Indeed, I shall excel all the feats displayed by Kunti's son. Now watch them and be amazed. The crowd stood up together as if lifted by some instrument. They roared and cheered. Arjuna, however, felt abashed and angry. He clenched and unclenched his fists, which were covered with an iguana skin finger protectors. His eyes seemed on fire as he glared at Karna. Drona nodded his assent, and Karna moved to the center of the arena. At once he began to show his skills. He matched every feat Arjuna had displayed, and the crowd shouted their approval. When he had finished, Duryodhan went over and warmly embraced him. Here was someone who could stand against the haughty Arjuna. The Pandava prince had been the center of attention for too long. Here was his equal. Duryodhana laughingly said to Karna, You are welcome, O mighty hero. By good fortune, you have come here today. Tell me, what can I do for your pleasure? I and the Kuru kingdom are at your command. Duryodhan had seen Arjuna's anger. He smiled at the Pandava as Karna replied, Just by your words, I already consider my desire fulfilled. I only wish for your undying friendship. But I have one request. Please allow me to engage in single combat with Arjuna. Arjuna stiffened and grasped his bow. The minute had seen the obviously arrogant Karna had felt an intense rivalry. Maybe he would get the chance to end it immediately. Duryodhan laughed. Ha! Enjoy with me the good things in life, O hero. Together we shall reside in happiness. Arjuna had heard enough. He interrupted Duryodhana in a thunderous voice. O Karna, the path belonging to the unwelcome intruder or the uninvited speaker shall now be yours. Karna smoldered like a glowing ember. O Partha, this arena is not meant for you alone. It is open to all heroes, including those superior to you. Why do you argue with words alone? Those who are strong do not waste words. Speak with your arrows and I shall sever your head before your guru's eyes. Arjuna turned to Drona, who nodded slightly. Fixing his gaze on Karna, the Pandava advanced for combat. Duryodhan embraced Karna, who went before Arjuna, his weapons at the ready. Suddenly the sky was filled with heavy clouds and bright flashes of lightning. Indra's great rainbow appeared overhead. The clouds above Karna, however, dispersed, and the sun shone brightly, lighting up his form. Dhritarashtra's sons stood behind Karna, while Drona, Kripa, and Bhishma stood behind Arjuna. In the terraces, the crowd became divided. The royal ladies also cannot choose between the two heroes. As they faced each other, Kunti was filled with horror and fainted. Vidura was surprised to see this and raised her gently, sprinkling her face with cool water. He asked her what was wrong. But Kunti said nothing. She sat holding her head. How could she tell anyone of the secret she had kept hidden for so long? Seized by fear, she looked at the arena and, feeling helpless, silently prayed. Just as the two warriors were about to duel, Kripa, who knew all the rules of combat, stood forward and asked, "This son of Pandu is the child of Kunti and a descendant of the royal Kuru race. Let us hear from his opponent what is his lineage and race. Once he knows this, Partha may decide whether or not to fight." Kripa looked at Karna. Duels were fought only among equals. Karna blushed and said nothing. It was clear that he was not from a royal line. Seeing his discomfiture, Duryodhan spoke out. "Nobility does not depend only on birth. Those who are heroes and leaders of soldiers may also claim nobility, even if not born in royal lines. But if Arjuna will duel only with another king, then I shall immediately give Karna a kingdom." Without delay, Duryodhan arranged for a ceremony right there in the arena. He sent someone to fetch sanctified water and sprinkled it upon Karna's head. "You shall become the king of Anga." The crowd cheered as Brahmanas chanted the appropriate mantras and offered Karna rice, flowers, and holy water. Karna sat upon a golden seat and was fanned with yak-tail wisps. He was deeply moved by Duryodhana's gesture of friendship and said in a choked voice, "What can I ever do to repay you, O King? I shall always be at your command." Duryodhan replied, Your friendship alone is all that I desire. The two men embraced each other, and the citizens became even more excited. Then, just as the duel between Karna and Arjuna seemed about to commence, another man suddenly ran into the arena. He was trembling with age and supported himself on a staff. Perspiring and with his cloth hanging loosely from his body, he moved quickly toward Karna. At once, Karna got down from his seat and placed his head, still wet from the coronation, at the man's feet. He stood up and said to the inquisitive Duryodhan, "This is my father, Adhiratha." Adhiratha had been present in the crowd and wanted to congratulate his son upon coronation. He was a charioteer and was instantly recognized as such by both his dress and his name. He remembered his son tightly and shed tears of happiness. Seeing all this, Bhima jeered. "O son of a charioteer, you do not deserve death at Arjuna's hands. You had best take up the whip and guide a chariot. Indeed, you are no more deserving the kingship of Anga than a dog deserves the sacrificial offerings of ghee meant for the gods." Karna looked down in embarrassment. Duryodhan rose up in anger from the midst of his brothers like an infuriated elephant rising out of a lake full of lotuses. Duryodhan spoke up, "O Bhima, you should not speak such words. How can someone like this be of inferior birth? A hero's first quality is his strength and prowess. We have all seen Karna's power today." Duryodhan then named different gods and heroes whose births had been unusual. Drona himself was said to have been born from a pot, Kripa from a piece of heath, and the great god Kartikeya from a clump of reeds. Even the Pandava's birth was mysterious. "Can a deer bring forth a lion? Look at this man. His natural coat of armor and his marks of auspiciousness, I do not consider him to be a charioteer at all." Duryodhana gazed defiantly at the Pandavas. "If anyone dislikes my having crowned Karna, then let him step forward and bend his bow in combat." The crowd was roused by Duryodhan's heroic speech. They cheered and sat expectantly. Now there would surely be a great duel between two mighty heroes. But during Duryodhan's speech, the sun had set. The dispute would have to be settled another day. Duryodhana took Karna by the hand and led him out of the arena, which was now lit by countless lamps. The Pandavas also left, along with Drona, Kripa, and Bhishma. Then the citizens returned to their homes. Some of the citizens named Arjuna the victor of the day, some named Karna, while others pointed to Duryodhan. Kunti thanked the Lord within herself. As she watched Karna leave the arena, her mind went back to the day of his birth. She had only wanted to test Durvasa's boon. She had no idea the mantra proved to be so powerful. Kunti remembered how she had been lying on the couch watching the brilliant sun rise over the Ganges. What if she could call the sun god? The mantra had come to mind, and almost at once the blazing Surya was standing before her. Kunti had been amazed, then horrified, when he told her that he could not leave without giving her a child. "I am a maiden," she protested. "What will everyone say?" Surya smiled. By his power, she would conceive a son and still remain a maiden. And so it happened. The god left, and in due course, the boy was born. Kunti had marveled at the baby's natural golden armor and earrings, the same armor and earrings she saw on Karna as he marched into the arena. She recalled how the armor had shone in the morning sun as the boy floated away in his basket on the river. Kunti wept again as she recalled how she could not tell anyone she had given birth, and how, blinded by tears, she had ushered the baby into the flowing river. Adiroth must have found the basket and raised her son. As Karna strode off with Duryodhan, Kunti led Gandhari back to the palace.